Still rolling stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And it won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place. And it won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Oh. Just agree with me, church. We come against every chain and every spirit of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Every chain of addiction, every chain of anxiety and depression, every chain of trauma. We come against you right now in the name of Jesus, and we command you to go. We command you to break. We take authority by the blood of Christ, and we say, go. You have no authority here. All authority has been given to us in the name of Jesus to trample on every scorpion, every serpent, and every power of the enemy. We declare it this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you deliver any of us in this room that are held captive by any lie, by any stronghold in the mind, by any thought process that's not from your kingdom, God, that's keeping them in bondage, God. May your spirit go forth now and bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. If one died for all and therefore all died, we cannot look at anyone as if God, as if Christ did not die for them, as if they're just a human, as if they're just a body. We need to look at everyone as a soul who will live eternity, one place or the other. So as the love of God compelled Christ to suffer in a way that no man has ever or will ever suffer, may we be compelled with that same love to go forward and share Christ with those around us. May we be compelled to strive and not settle, but strive to be more like Christ every day. Father, we need your help. We need your spirit to do this, and we ask for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Hallelujah. Great to see all of you here today. I'm looking forward to meeting you. If I haven't, I'm Pastor Brad, and we welcome you to Seaport. Those of you online, great to have you as well. And so, hallelujah. I'm expecting great things today. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hallelujah. So, I'm going to ask Tristan and Reagan to come right up here and join me on the platform. And several weeks ago, we did something called City Quake, and we did it kind of last minute, but we brought in a crew from around the country, and they came in and did 3.5 days of meetings and training and evangelism. And as a result of that, we are now moving into the aftershock stage, where teams that went out during that time are continuing to go out every other Saturday. And I just wanted you to hear this testimony. Now, I got a lot of crazy testimonies, and we'll get to them. Some of them you're like, you make that up? No. Because wild, crazy stuff. But Tristan and Reagan are here, and we just tell us, you guys went out, and just tell us what happened. Where'd you go, and what happened?
So, I think it was last Saturday, right? We went out.
First of all, how old are you?
12.
How old are you?
16.
Okay.
And we went out with Aftershock, but it was only me, Reagan, Andy, and
Marianne.
And we watched the video, and then Marianne had a thought to go to L&M Hospital. And so
Marianne thought you should go to the hospital.
Yes.
Okay.
And we drove there, and then I suggested, I gave a suggestion to Andy that we should go, me and Reagan, and Andy and Marianne, so that me and Reagan aren't backseating and not praying for people, so that we could actually pray for people.
Do you hear this? And so then, you guys, okay, so you break up into two groups of two, yeah. And you're out in front of the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what happens?
So Andy and Marianne went to the main entrance, and we stayed at a little part. It was just like a little clinic part. And we only ended up seeing one person, and we didn't really know if we should pray for them. We were kind of confused, and then We asked Siri if we should pray for them.
I didn't hear this part of this testimony. I'm going to have to vet this a little carefully next time.
That was his idea, by the way, not mine.
Well, we didn't know, okay. And then Siri said, Jesus led us to pray. So then we ended up...
Siri told you to pray?
Yeah. All right,
Siri. Okay. If you don't know who Siri is, ask any iPhone user, okay? All right. They'll tell you. Okay.
Okay. So then we went up to this guy named Daryl, which we didn't know his name at the time. But we went up to him, and then we were saying if he wanted to pray. And then he said, no, like kind of angrily. It was kind of concerning.
Yeah. So then we walked away. But then this lady was like driving her car up to him, and then she got out and she was like, what did you say to him? And then we thought...
Did you know her?
No.
Wow.
And then we thought that we were just going to like get into a fight with her because she just like... She was like, what are you doing? But no, then we were like, oh, we were just trying to pray for people. And she was like, oh, okay. So then we prayed for her in... Apparently, she goes to church, too, so that's good. What church was it?
I think it was New Life in Ledyard, I think.
Okay.
And she said that her son was a youth pastor in there at New Life in Ledyard. And she said that it was really cool that youth like us are going out and praying for people. And she said that it was very blessed that we prayed for her. Because her son had just died, that was the youth pastor.
Listen, you need to hear this piece, this is very important.
So her son that was a youth pastor had just died, maybe like, I don't know how long ago, but he had just died. And she just thought it was crazy that we, since, you know.
She was kind of mad at God, wasn't she, too?
Yeah.
She was kind of mad at God that her youth pastor son had passed away. He had been doing all these outreach kinds of things. And then she dries up and she sees these two. And she was grateful that young people were out there. She kind of saw that as, I understood, she kind of took it as, you know what? You know, that in a way that her son didn't die in vain.
Amen.
You know? And so that must have been, I mean, how did you guys have the courage to go do that? You're standing out in front of L&M Hospital and random people are driving up and walking up and you're just praying for them.
It was hard, but after Cityquake, I just felt very empowered to do Aftershock. So I had went to Aftershock the first week, and I was with Katie and Nate.
How old are you?
12. And I was with Katie and Nate, and we went to Walmart, and I was just kind of sitting there watching them pray for a bunch of different people. And then next week, and there was only four of us, so I was like, you know what, this week I want to pray for somebody. So I was just said, me and Reagan should go.
He was emphatic from what Andy told me. He didn't want to go with Andy and Marianne because then he wouldn't have a chance to pray for people. That's why they divided like that. It's so awesome. You know, I'm really proud of you guys. We have a lot more testimonies that we're going to be sharing with you, and they're going to be going out. And you, even though you didn't go to Cityquake, you can go and meet every other Saturday here, and you don't have to say anything. They'll help you and train you and equip you, and you'll get the biggest adrenaline rush of your life, you know, praying for people. And so, anyway, give it up for these guys, would you? Good job. Nice job. Woo! Yeah, you're going to hear, I feel like the Lord said to me the other day, to have a testimony every week, so you're going to hear testimony every week. And again, some of them are pretty wild, what God has done. But did you see this? I mean, just want to go out and minister to people. Wow. Wow. Kind of blows away some of our excuses, doesn't it? Yeah. There. So, many of us are wearing purple today. April is the month of the military child. It's a month that's designated to just recognize the children in our military families who often sacrifice and give up so very, very much. And we want to show you this one-minute video. And then Chris, who is active duty Navy chief and director of our military ministry around here, he'll come up and pray. We'll pray for the kids. Obviously, the kids are out there in ministries. They're not in here with us, but he'll tell you a little bit more about that. But let's just take a quick look at this simple video, and I think it'll bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a military kid. Thank you for being resilient and supportive throughout our many years of service.
Thank you for helping mommy around the house and being so strong when I have to be gone for days, weeks, or months at a time.
Changing states, homes, schools, and activities isn't easy. But you took it as a new adventure.
The courage you have by going to 3 different schools in 3 years really makes me look up to you.
I am blessed, thankful, and grateful to have such beautiful and handsome loving kids who not only support me, but each other while I'm away.
You are the reason why I work so hard.
Thank you for always keeping your spirit.
Most of all, thank you for being you. Your smiles, laughs, and love are what have gotten me through every day away. I love you, and thank you for everything you do.
You know, we all stand up, all of us active duty people, we stand up and we raise our hand and we, you know, take an oath that we're going to support and defend. And we do that freely. But our kids oftentimes are born into that, right? They don't make that choice. We've made that choice for them. And so they have to endure the hardships that come with military service. And they don't have a choice. They get to get moved around. They switch schools. They switch doctors. You know, they got to see mom cry sometimes. They got to see their friends cry when their dads are gone or their moms are gone. And so we have a tremendous ability to impact these kids. And really, our kids have an even bigger impact on their kids because they're seeing these kids every day at school and in life and throughout the communities, right? And they can really build a support system with the kids. So if you guys could all stand with me, because we have a huge base over here with over 20 submarines that deploy, and that means there's a whole lot of military kids that don't come to church, right? It's great that our kids are here and that we have Rangers and Impact and Sunday service and kids' church and ways to support them and as a church family. But there are a lot of kids that are just a mile away that don't, right? That no one's, not that no one's thinking about them, but they're not thinking about them like we're thinking about them, right? And so, Lord, I just pray right now that we can all stand up in faith, Lord, that we can take the time when we are here, that we can all take the time to pray for each and every one of those kids that are a part of a family that they didn't sign up for, Lord. Lord, that we know that you are there to surround them and comfort them with your love, your joy, and your support. Lord, may all the dads and the moms that are on active duty take the time to spend with them and train them up in your image, Lord. Lord, that they train them in the armor of God so that that when we are away, they are standing firm in their faith, Lord, and they know they can count on you, Lord. Lord, may we take that time while we are home to pray for our kids, Lord, so that they know how much they mean to us and how much they mean to you, Lord, that whenever a trial comes, that they can stand through it because they have your love, Lord, and they know that we are all connected in your eternal kingdom. Lord, I pray right now that we can extend our hands out to all the military families that are out there, and we can pray for all the kids, that we have a great impact, Lord, and that you will just give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to just minister to them and to model what Christ's love and light looks like to them, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that you just continue to give us opportunities, Lord, to shower them with your love and your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And hey, thanks for wearing purple today. And we have a small gift for the kids that are our Seaport family, that are military kids, because they really do have to endure a lot. And so we just have a little gift after that. So make sure if you guys are a military family, go up after to the desk and get a little gift for your children. Thanks. Thanks for praying. And make sure you guys keep those military kids and military families in your heart and mind every day. If this is your first time here, hey, we just want to welcome you. And we do that around here by just honoring you by clapping for you. So if it's your first time here, welcome. And we don't want to just clap for you, of course, right? We want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way for you to do that is for you to just text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. Or there's a little like a QR code on the back of most of the seat backs. You can also click on that and it will help you connect there. The number's also there. But once that link comes back to you, all you got to do is click on it, fill it out, and just like that, shabam, we're connected, right? And we're also available on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page. So there's lots of ways to get connected, or you can even just email the office staff. So welcome to church this morning. And so we have awesome opportunities at this church, right? And in order to be a part of most of those things, you have to sign up for them, right? And in order to sign up for them, you need to have the Church Center app. So if you haven't downloaded that, make sure you do so. But some opportunities that are coming up. If you have not signed up for Engage, you still have an opportunity. And it is happening tonight. And what is Engage? It is just, if you haven't figured out how God wants to use you, you're not sure what God uniquely designed you to do, make sure you join us for Engage so that we can figure that out, see where you should be and want to be serving here at the church. This Wednesday, I'll be preaching. I'll be talking about the laws of spiritual power and let God be God. And at the same time, Adam is going to be doing a Bible study on Hebrews. And then we have weekly prayer around the week here, right? Almost every day we have prayer, so make sure you guys are stepping into it. You want to pray for military families and military children? That's a good way to do it. Or if you want to pray for our community, our church, and all the things that are happening, make sure you're joining one of these prayer meetings. They're very powerful. And then, as we were talking about, making sure you have the Church Center app and signing up for things, there is an awesome class that's starting. It is family-friendly wellness, and it's starting on Monday, but we need you to sign up for it. Now, Sherry did one about a year and a half or 2 years ago. This one is going to be different. So if you missed the first one, or even if you went to the first one, this one is going to be different, and it's going to be awesome. But again, we have to make sure that people are signing up, or we're going to have to postpone it. And then this Tuesday, our men's stretch group is meeting here. And then Thursday, as we talk about prayer, is the National Day of Prayer. And there's going to be lots of opportunities around, even in the town of Grand, for you to go out there and pray. And then on May 6th, the girls and women are having an Impact Wild and Wonderful Ladies Tea Party. If you missed that skit, it was pretty awesome. And it sounds like it's going to be a fun time. And then, if you guys have not seen the travel mugs, we have these awesome travel mugs. You can get them out there at the Good Bean Cafe. So that way you can show it off and, you know, have hot coffee all the time. Welcome to church this morning. Next up, Rolando.
Thank you, Chris. So I have the privilege of doing our offering this morning. The verse we have is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and it says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ." So I want us to notice how Paul says, the same God who takes care of me. He just wrote to this church in Philippi, who was faithfully giving to him, one of the only churches that was giving to him once he brought the gospel to them. And then he says this, the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. God takes care of us through one another. This happens all the time. And everything anyway belongs to God. So all that we have, he's given us. So what I want to encourage us this morning is let us decide in our own hearts to generously give what God has given us so that we can meet the needs of one another, so that God, through us, can do just like he did through the church of Philippi with Paul. He can take care of us through one another. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you'd give us this same heart, this same mind that the church of Philippi had and that so many of your people around the world have, just to give of what you've given to them. Help us to decide in our own hearts, Lord, to give generously, knowing that you're going to take care of us as we take care of each other. So we ask that you'd bless the offering this morning, God, and we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a bunch of ways to give. You can do it through the kiosks out there. You can also write a check or put cash in an envelope in the boxes out there. And then you can also give through the app, which is a good way to do it. There's a bunch of different ways to give. I know there's things popping up behind me. But God bless you guys. Here's Pastor Brad.
Youth are released.
All right. Youth are heading. All the youth are being released. Thank you. Okay, all the youth are released and heading out of here. There is absolutely no shortage of something to be, things to be stressed, worried about, or anxious about, is there? I mean, every single day seems to present some new thing that you can worry about. I mean, just think of it. You can worry about your kids. Are they getting the right things to eat? Sherry will help you with that. You know, are they learning and are they growing up healthy in every way? You can always, I mean, there's a lot of things to worry about. You can worry about your job. Is it going to be there? Is it going to provide enough money for your family and for your future? I mean, you can worry about the culture where everything that once was right is now wrong and wrong has become right and every day seems to be a new low of perversity. You can worry about that. I mean, you can worry about, oh my gosh, my marriage seems to be in kind of a rough spot. Are we going to make it? You can worry about your health. Gosh, I've got this weird pain. What does that mean? You know, lots of things to worry about. I mean, you can worry about AI, artificial intelligence. Will it take your job? Just read an article, 30 jobs. Will it cease to exist by 2030 because AI will take them over? There's a lot of things to think about. There's a lot of things to worry about. A lot of things to be consumed with. You know, I mean, so what do you do with all of that? What do you do with it? I mean, what you choose to do even right now is super critical. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. You know, I mean, we've come to a particular passage of Scripture that I think can really help us to understand what to do with worry, anxiety, and concern. And before we get to that, let me just kind of give you a little bit of background. We're in this series called Commissioned, where we're looking at 40 commands of Jesus in the Scripture. We're looking at those throughout this year. And now as we're somewhat in the early stages of it. You know, last week Adam talked to you about, hey, you know, we're in... we're in Sermon on the Mount. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus on a bright, beautiful day unlike today, sitting on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, preaches his most famous message. And Matthew records it in chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's a powerful message. And really, really, it was designed to help the people that were there understand what it meant to be a follower of his. He challenged some of the religious traditions that they had grown up with. He said, you guys have heard of this. But I say this, and he actually sets a higher standard for what it means to follow him. And he lays that all out. But just before we get to the passage we're going to look at, he does a little thing on money management. You should read it sometime. He talks about managing money just before we get to this. But let me ask you, do you know who was there that day? Who heard it that day? Obviously, the 12 disciples were there. There was probably every kind of person from every kind of, you know, economic level and strata of life probably there. They probably had religious leaders who they followed Jesus around looking for something, for him to say something wrong in a gotcha moment. But probably the bulk of the people that were there that day were common, ordinary folks. Most of them probably lived somewhat hand to mouth. Some of them were probably day laborers. Day laborers in our culture still exist. But for them at that particular time, it was the same drill for a lot of those folks. They would go down to a particular place in the market. They would hang out hoping somebody would come by in the morning and hire them all day. And if they didn't get somebody, they'd stand there all day until somebody came. You see, this is one of the parables that Jesus told. And so they're there just, and what they often would do is they would work that day, get paid that day, then go and get food for that night and for the next day. And they'd do the whole thing all over again the next day. Can you imagine living like that? No wonder Jesus earlier in this chapter said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Those folks, they got that. They got that, you know? So, I mean, they're sitting there. And they're very concerned about just the basic necessities of life. Their lifestyle is very different from us, although we still have our own worries and our own concerns and our own issues. But what I want to do is I want to read this passage from Matthew 6. You can follow along in your Bible, or you can watch, it'll be up here. And I want you, this is the NLT up here, I want you just to kind of follow along. And I want you, as I read this, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is Jesus saying to me about managing and handling and conquering stress, anxiety, and worry? I want you to listen, watch, and ask yourself that question. Here we go. Here's Matthew 6. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Now look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and then thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the minds and the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. And then he ends this segment with, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. To which every one of us should say, amen. So what do you do? What did you hear about conquering stress, worry, anxiety? What did you hear in this particular passage? This very powerful, very well-known passage of Jesus. Let's take a look at verse 25. I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Do you see what it's a command. Did you ever see that? Jesus is commanding you and me not to worry. That's an order from headquarters. That's a direct order. Do not worry. Make the choice to do what I'm telling you and do not worry. You know, when you're stressed out, maybe you need to stop and think, wait a minute, I've got a command not to be consumed with this worry. I have to choose not to be. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. I mean, this doesn't mean living in denial about the reality of your situation. This doesn't mean that you're not taking legitimate means to care for your family, yourself, your family, and your legitimate needs. It's not saying that at all. Jesus is very simply saying, look, he is the present God. He is all Emmanuel with you, okay? He's walking with you. He knows what is going on. These were some hardworking folks that Jesus is talking to. They probably were listening to him that day. They probably hadn't gone down to get a job for the day. Instead, they came. And so it was costing them probably something to be there and hear these words, you know. But by following this command, you're also confessing and making a statement that you believe that what God has said is true and he will provide for you and that, you know what, you don't have to give in to worry and concern and anxiety. That's a place for an amen. There you go. Let's take another look at this. Again, back to verse 25. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? You know, so many of us, we miss out on the stuff that really makes life because we get so consumed and so worried about all the stuff in our lives that sometimes we don't even want to be around with people. Sometimes we load ourselves up with all kinds of extra jobs, and that's all we just live to work. You know, work to live, that's about all we do. And we miss the stuff that life is really made out of. And Jesus said, isn't life far more than just worrying and being concerned about all the stuff? I mean, that might be a really good thought for some of us to get a hand. I mean, I don't know how many times I've watched people miss out on meaningful family activities, meaningful church activities. I've watched, you know, and let me just kind of go off on a sidebar for just a second here. I've been your pastor for almost 35 years. I've watched all kinds of things. I've watched people get consumed with the stuff of life. They get consumed with life. And I say, man, I miss you. Where you been? Bump into your Walmart. Suddenly you're face to face with me. 9 times out of 10, I've been busy. No, you got your priorities messed up. Let's just be real. And you know what? And so what happens, this is what I've watched happen. I have never watched anyone in 35 years that just kind of drift away because they got busier, they got concerned, or things just became difficult. I've never watched anybody drift away from this church and then not go to any church and be better off for it. But I have a long list of names that I could give to you of people that just kind of drifted away from church, drifted away from God, didn't go to any other church. And I've seen their marriages crash. I've seen their kids crash. I've seen them crash financially. I've seen all kinds of stuff happen in their lives. Never have I seen somebody be better off by allowing all the pressures of life to keep them from worshiping God. But I do have a long list of people who've allowed that to happen in their lives, and it did not go well with them. Please, don't let the pressures of life keep you from the things that are really important. That's one of the things that Jesus is saying here. You know, life is far more than just filling your life up with all kinds of stuff that is almost meaningless. You know, I mean, look at what he's saying here. You know what? Sometimes we miss out on church and family, and sometimes we miss out on getting proper rest. Sometimes we miss out on, you know, getting proper nutrition and proper exercise. We miss out on all of those things because we're consumed with all kinds of little things and wondering, is God going to care for me? Jesus is simply saying, you know what? Reorient some priorities here. And you might have to just simply say, you know what? I can choose to be consumed with worries, or I can choose to believe that God is going to care for me. Are you with me on this? Look at verse 26. And aren't you far more valuable to him than the birds are? I would hope you would think you're more valuable than birds. You know? I mean, I don't think you know how valuable you are to God. I don't think you do. I don't think you understand how much God looks at you, loves you. I love this in the Old Testament. It says that he has engraved our names on the palm of his hand. Not the back, not over here, not over here. He's engraved your name on the palms of his hand. That's value. I love what Paul says in Ephesians. In Ephesians, he says that Jesus fulfilled the requirements that his Father put upon him to gain our salvation. And because he was a faithful son that executed the responsibilities of being our Savior, God qualified him to receive an inheritance, the most precious inheritance that the Father could give his son. The most precious thing God himself in all eternity could think to give his son for his inheritance. You know what that is? It's you. Amen. It's you. Amen. It's me. If you've got an inheritance that you're waiting to give to a child or to a grandchild or something like that, you guard it. You watch it. You look after it. You protect it. Don't you? Don't you think God is looking at his inheritance and saying, I'm going to care for them. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to provide for them. Because he values you so highly. You got to get that in your head and your heart. And something, next thing that blows through your head that says, you're worthless. You're no good. You'll never make it. God doesn't care about you. You need to say, whoa, that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm the very inheritance of Christ. See how valuable you are? And that says to you that God will care for you. This week, one of you, and obviously I'll protect your identity, one of you contacted the office and you made a very humble request. Humble. It was so humble. You just asked for a little bit of money to help you with some groceries because you found yourself in a tough spot. So I looked at that. As I looked at that request, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, do not give them what they ask for. Give them more. And so the check was written for the figure that the Lord gave me. Told me, give them this much. They asked for that, but give them this. And tell them that their Heavenly Father cares for them. Look at verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Actually, it will shorten your life. Yeah. Research continually shows that those who are continually, they're always drama. They're always overreacting. They've always got a crisis. They're always worried about something. Living in a state of perpetual anxiety will reduce your life expectancy. One of the reasons that God does not want you to be worried and be concerned, because He's got a lot of things for your life to do and to be, and He wants you to live it out and not die one moment before you should. Say to yourself today, worry is not going to rob me. Say it right out loud. Worry is not going to rob me. But you need to understand something else here too. When you spend your energies and your mental and emotional energies on worry, you're taking that brain power, that emotional energy, away from being able to pray, being able to think, being able to hear God give you wisdom and revelation to know what to do and how to handle those things and give you a resolution to that situation. When your mind is so consumed with worry and stress and anxiety, you know what? You can't be in a place to receive the answer that's your solution. And that's why it's so powerfully important to say, wait a minute. I choose to control my thoughts and my emotions. You can do that, right? Yeah. Verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Man, I read that and it was like God speared me in the heart. Why do you have so little faith? Almost everybody in the room here, if you've been a Christian for any period of time, have got a story of God's provision, don't you? How God's cared for you, how God came through for you, how that God just blessed your life, right? You do, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Is He going to stop now? No. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yeah. He's not going to quit now. You say, well, the need is really big now. I get it. I'm about to tell you, I get it. You know? I mean, worry is so often just a sign of our lack of faith. You can choose to have worry. You can choose to have faith. You can choose. And ask the Lord to help you to trust Him, you know? But I got to tell you, He'll give you opportunity to find out how you're doing. He'll test you just to see how well you're doing with trusting Him. I mean, He'll allow situations to come in and just challenge your faith. Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon. A lot of backstory, but I'll just keep it simple and short. I got a financial report from the company that manages Seaport's finances. And it's professionally managed. They sent me this report. I thought my heart was going to stop beating, not in a good way. It was the worst financial report I almost have ever seen, at least in recent years. It showed the church behind budget $45,000. I was like, dear God, what am I going to do with that? It was just before the service, and I said, and then the devil began to assail me like, oh, get out. And this said to me all kinds of things. And I got to come in and teach. I said, Lord, I got to stay focused and go in and teach a very important lesson on Wednesday night. What am I? And I said, I'm just going to have to deal with this later. And it just tripped some stuff inside of me, to be honest with you. And then the more I thought about it, I thought this is a little interesting. You see, on Friday, this was Wednesday, on Friday, I was to lead a panel discussion with a group of pastors and leaders in this area. And my topic was church administration and finances. I almost called the coordinator and said, look, I'm out, dude. I'm out. I can't stand up there. Oh, my gosh. I said, well, hell. And then I thought some more. And I said, Lord, you're funny. I get this report. You're going to test my faith Friday. And then you've already given me this topic about not worrying. And I got to preach it. I said, you're funny, Lord. I get it. It took me a moment. I won't blow any smoke at you. It took me a moment to get a hold of my emotions and get a hold of my thoughts and just continue and just charge ahead. And you know what? Those kinds of things can happen to you. Maybe not like that, but they can happen to you. And you know what? You're going to have to choose, and you're going to have to say, I choose to trust. I choose to believe. I choose to believe that my Father in heaven cares about me, knows what I have need of, and will provide for me. Amen. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Read this with me right there. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. We love to sing that song, don't we? Good, good Father. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know you're all searching for answers only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. Say it with me. It's who you are. Say it with me. It's who you are. It's who you are. I like this part too. And I'm loved by you. Come on, say it with me. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Jesus said, your heavenly Father already knows everything that you have need of. He's already ahead of you. Do you understand that, friends? Do you understand that? One of the most powerful scripture encounters I had during my 4 years in Bible college was 2 Peter 1:3. I read it one day and God arrested my soul with this thing. By his divine power, God has given us some things for living a godly life. The old King James Version says everything that we need for life and godliness. I read that. And I began to think about that, and I began to realize what Peter was saying there. Peter's an old man now. He's right about my age when he writes this. He's not far from seeing Jesus face to face at this point in his life. I thought, wait a minute. God already knows everything I need. When my life goes here, he knows what I need right there. When my life goes over here, it's already provided. When I go here, he knows what I have need of right there. And he's already staged it. I just have to find it. And I can't tell you the numbers of times when I said, Lord, I know you. I know you know my need. You're ahead of me. You know what I have need of. God, just either provide it or show me where it is. And I cannot tell you. That boosts your faith when you do that. And you stop looking around and go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You stop, wait a minute. God's provided it. I just got to find it. And I can tell you, I've seen God do some miraculous and amazing things with that. And then this famous verse. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you some things you need. Oh, everything you need. And promise that you're going to drive some crazy high-end car that you don't need. That's not the promise. The promise is everything that you have need of. you know? Think of it this way. Let's prioritize. The promise, you've heard me say this. Let me say it again. When you prioritize and you say, I'm going to make sure top priority is developing a right relationship with God and a right relationship with the people in my community of believers, called, in this case, Seaport. You know, when I'm going to make a priority, my daily appointment with God, hello, let's not forget that. You know, when I'm going to make sure that I'm living in right relationship with people, we talked about offense on Wednesday night, dealing with that. Well, I'm going to make, you know what, I'm going to make sure I'm in right relationship with God. I'm going to deal with sin stuff in my life, and I'm going to take care of it and get rid of it. I'm going to live in a right relationship with God and with others. I'm going to make a priority to advance God's kingdom and his priorities. You know, I'm going to make sure that I'm spending my time advancing God's purposes. If I was to ask you a question, if I was to ask you to write down the things that you did for God this week, what might you write on that piece of paper? Going to church doesn't really count, by the way. What would you say to that? What would be the evidence in your life that you say, people say to me all the time, I love Jesus, and I say, where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence of it? If I say to my wife, I love you, and yet I've never provided evidence that proves to her that I love her, I'm nothing but a hypocritical liar. Or worse. Worse. Jesus wraps it all up, doesn't he? He wraps it all up in verse 34. Don't worry about Monday, for Monday will bring its own worries. Sunday's trouble is enough for Sunday. He didn't exactly say that, but you know what I mean. Today, I know there's a couple of you that are looking and you're saying, what am I going to do? Your Father's already ahead of you. He's already got the solution. He's already made the provision. You've got to say, God, show me what it is. Help me to trust you. Can we do that? Can we not give in to worry? Can we say that this is a command? I mean, look at the, you know, it's very, very simple. I mean, let's just take some simple action steps here. You know what? First of all, let's just honor the command that Jesus gave us not to worry. Can we do that? When your mind wants to go and wants to give into anxiety, when your mind wants to give into stress, when your mind wants to give into, and you know what? We all wrestle with it. I do too. But I have to stop and go, wait, stop. The command is not to worry because he's with me. He's going to help me. He's made a way. I've just got to trust him and I've got to find it. I want you this week, I want you to get it down there. I purposely walked you through this passage because I want this to be a passage that sticks in your heart. And when you're stressed, when the stress is coming and you're like, I don't know what to do, go back to Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, and just read them through and begin to practice that. And you'll begin to watch the stress level begin to come down. And you begin to realize that, and you begin to, peace will begin to come into your heart. And I wouldn't be surprised if God brings a resolution or shows you something you never thought of that's going to bring the resolution to it. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
I want you to stand with me, and I want the band to come back right now. And I want us to make a commitment to do this. This is the command of Jesus. This isn't the command of Pastor Brad. It's the command of Jesus. I will not worry. I will not worry. But I will trust him in faith and believe. Amen? You know how fast he can turn things around? There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 12, Peter. Peter's been arrested for preaching the gospel. He's going to be tried the next day, and they're hoping to sentence him to death. Peter's in prison. Looks bad. But I love what Luke writes about that. Peter was asleep. How many of you would be asleep if you were facing possible execution in the morning? He's sleeping. It's a crazy story. If you haven't ever read Acts 12, you ought to read what happens. I'll leave it for you to read because it gets really crazy what happens to Peter. But the point is, here's this dude just sleeping. In the midst of a very tough thing. You know what? We're going to sing this song. After the song, the ministry team will come up front and they'll pray with you about anything that you have need of. They'll pray with you for you. I just want to challenge you. If you've never invited Christ to come into your life, you really don't know what you're missing. Nobody's asking you to sign up for some religious thing. But you know what? You're entering into a relationship with your Father in heaven, who's making a commitment. When you yield your life to Him, you confess your sins, repent of your sins, invite Him to come into your life, He comes to you with a contract that says, I'm committed to you for now and all eternity to care for you, provide for you, protect you, guide you. You know that, right? It's really amazing. It's really amazing. If you've never done that, you got to be humble enough to confess your sins and admit that you need Jesus to come into your life and set you on a new path. But when you do that, the force of God's great love comes with all of that into your life. And I can tell you, even 50 years later, it's still amazing. Can we do this? Why don't you just say this with me? By your command, I will not worry. By your command, I will not worry. Say it again with me. By your command, I will not worry. Take that passage of Scripture, get it into your head, get it into your heart. I gave you a whole bunch of insights. Read it through, get it into your spirit. And so when stuff happens and you're like, and your first reaction is to stress out, stop. Stop. And I know. I'm practicing it with you, okay? You know, lots of scary stuff out there. But I don't know of anything out there that's bigger than God. He goes before us, and beside us, and with us, and behind us. Let's sing this song. Hallelujah. And then the ministry team will come. Come on, let's sing it.
I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, I speak Jesus.
Jesus. Just say his name with me, would you? Jesus. Say his name with me. Jesus. Sometimes that's the only thing you got. Jesus. But it's enough. I'm going to dismiss this in just a moment, but I feel like I need to do one last thing, and the ministry team will come and they'll pray for you for whatever need you have. You need to invite Jesus to come into your life. Come and do that, and they'll help you with that. But I feel like I'm supposed to pray 2 Timothy 1:7 over you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of self-control. Amen? I'm going to pray that over you right now as we get ready to go. Just take hold of that verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. Father God, I pray right now, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of self-control. We take hold of that right now. We take hold of that. We reject fear and we embrace love, power, and self-control. And we walk in this because you're the faithful God. Amen, friends?
Amen.
Amen. You need prayer, come and receive it. You need to go. God bless you. Just go walk in it. God bless you guys.